Welcome to WQXR's Arts File Online. It's Friday, April 2nd. I'm Carrie Nolan. This morning we look at one of the most audience-beloved and anticipated parts of any musical concert, the encore. Anne Majette is here. She's classical music critic for The Washington Post. Thanks a lot for being here, Anne.
Thanks for having me.
First, let's start with the roots of the word encore. Now, the word is French. It means again or some more. Is this a spontaneous performance, or is it often scripted?
Well, it depends on the context. In the context of a recital, it's almost always scripted. One of the original forms of the encore is to repeat a movement or an aria in an opera after the audience bursts out in spontaneous applause, and you can occasionally hear that, and that's sometimes a less scripted thing. The Metropolitan Opera had a long no-encore policy, and when they did Nabucco for the first time a few years ago, they actually encored the famous chorus, which is a surefire crowd pleaser. And Juan Diego Flores has encored his Daredevil aria and Daughter of the Regiment. Those are true encores where a piece of the performance is repeated at the audience's behest. In the context of a recital, an encore is usually something that comes at the end, and the performer usually figures out in advance what he or she wants to do.
You've written that audience members, as you just said, can play an active role in sort of demanding an encore in the middle of a performance. Why do you think that happens?
If people hear something they really like, they're going to want to hear it again. I don't think that kind of excitement actually happens as much in opera or concerts as it used to. If you look back at performance practice in Mozart's day, Mozart was thrilled when people applauded in the middle of a symphony when they heard something they liked, and that kind of spontaneous eruption is very much frowned upon today in concert hall.
Do artists in the classical world always perform encores at the end of concerts?
The encore is pretty much a standard feature of your average recital, and I recently wrote a blog post about encores, and it was interesting to see the range of readers reviews, from tacit eye-rolling at the idea that this was at all spontaneous and that audience members were supposed to sit and wait for these final offerings, to the idea that it was a wonderful extra to the concert. The irony is that the encore often becomes the focus of the performance and is sometimes the best thing on the program. It's the moment when the artist can step outside the prescribed plan and offer something a little bit extra or something a little bit more natural, and you can often hear the sound of that freedom reflected in a particularly spontaneous performance.
In the rock and roll world, the encore is part and parcel of the show. It's often included in the contract. Is that something that happens in the classical world?
I don't believe it's part of a classical contract at all, and I actually called the presenter to check about that. The presenter confirmed that the encore is not a part of the contract, but often the performer will give a heads up backstage that he or she intends to do an encore, and there are some artists who like to do many encores. It's really a judgment call on the part of the artist, depending on how much applause there is, and you can certainly see audiences get into the game of thinking, if we just keep applauding loud enough, he or she will come back out and give us something more. You also see artists jumping to give an encore as the applause is dying out, and they might not actually be called back to the stage. You sometimes see somebody coming out and doing the encore anyway.
And you review shows and concerts for the Washington Post. Are encores something that are open to review?
Well, there's debate about that, because the tradition has been that critics don't review encores, originally because critics had to go dashing out to file their reviews. The other convention is that the encore is a gift from the performer to the audience, and therefore should not be subject to the same harsh critical standards that the rest of the concert is. And I can see a point of that. On the other hand, I think probably a bulk of the mail I get from readers is, what was the encore at last night's concert? I think the encore is something that really intrigues people, partly because it's one of the few moments that is unscripted in the concert. It really involves the audience and guessing what the piece is in a way that an average rock concert involves the audience all the time. When you go to a rock concert, you don't know what the next song is going to be, so you listen to find out. In a classical concert, you have it all printed out in front of you, and the one moment that you really have to pay attention and figure it out is the encore. It might be nice if classical concerts had more of that spontaneity all the way through.
Now, the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra always plays Strauss's Radetzky March and the Blue Danube at the end of their New Year's concerts. The encores aren't listed on the set list, but the audience knows they're going to hear them every year. Do you think this takes the fun or the surprise element out of the encore, or is this just an extension of the concert itself?
Well, the Vienna Philharmonic's New Year's concert is such a tradition. The audience kind of knows what it's going to hear anyway. I don't know. The encores are pretty individual, and precisely because they are not on the printed program, it's sort of up to the artist to do what he or she wants. I believe Rachmaninoff always used to signal that he was done with his encores by playing the prelude in C-sharp minor. And again, audiences knew they were going to hear that. That was part of a beloved tradition. since so much of classical music is about hearing things that are very familiar and beloved, I don't think there's any shame to repeating a signature encore if that's what people want to hear, any more than there is to the Rolling Stones singing Ruby Tuesday at every performance.
What's the best encore you've ever heard?
Oh, my goodness. Well, one of the candidates was actually this week. Dmitri Vorostovsky came out and gave a Russian folk song, which he's often done as an encore. He sang completely a cappella, which for an opera singer is remarkably daring because every flaw in the voice is exposed without any orchestral accompaniment. And it was just stunning. It was really, really memorable. A lot of times I've heard very sort of funny, kitschy encores that get the audience laughing a lot. And there's a place for that, too. But I prefer the kind that Vorostovsky did.
Well, thanks a lot for joining us, Anne.
Thank you for having me.
Anne Majette is classical music critic for The Washington Post. And that's today's Arts File on Classical 105.9 FM WQXR. I'm Carrie Nolan.